just
good morning and afternoon to all of those who are listening. Welcome back to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. Hello to my fellow co-hosts. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this fine morning?
I was good right up until the point I just opened LinkedIn to look for what we were meant to be looking for, and I got another freaking email. And I'm just like, ooh. Yeah, I'm going to be. It just really.
Happy New Year to you.
I'm going to send them the fuck out of here, Matthew.
All right. This is going to be a special episode because we have news for all of you. But before we get into the special news teaser, the drill, for those of you who are new to the show, please, by all means, drop any questions or comments or feedback you have that you want to ask or validate with me. Oh, we're going up.
Standing.
Oh, we're standing. Desk. Hello.
My back hurts. I'm trying to be healthy and exercise every day, and I like did something in the process this morning, so I need to stand up.
Okay, that took me off guard for a minute. I was like,
sorry. Okay.
That's good. Yes, so for those of you who are new and also veteran to the show, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please do, by all means, drop that in the comments or ping me. We'll bring you on live to ask those questions or validate anything that you'd like from a messaging perspective or just ask us questions or, hang out with us. We have news, like I said. We dropped some news about an awards show that we're going to be having at the end of the month. We basically, based off of last week's episode, created the WTF Awards, right, guys? We have the new poll that we're distributing to everybody. So let me drop that in the link. We're going to be voting and nominating different categories of WTF moments, right? Rolling out the carpet, not for the best, but for the worst. The absolute worst in marketing and sales and security. This is lighthearted. This is fun for us. This is, we're not going to be bashing too hard too many people, but this is going to be a good, this is going to be a good exercise for, I don't know, man, maybe Chris has other plans here. So we're going to have a good time here. Let me drop this in for everybody. Your homework today, everyone, is to vote for every category before leaving the show or after the show. We know who you are, so
we'll sit Chris on you if you don't.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. I know where you live. I know how to turn the electricity off.
All right, passing it on to my co-host Maria. Chris, how are you guys doing today?
Well, my husband made it home last night. I thought he was going to be delayed, and so I could avoid the snow blowing that needed to happen this morning. I was in charge yesterday, so I was excited to sit in my chair and sip my coffee and get ready for a day of 9 to 5:30. Besides this one, half an hour back to back to back to back to back to back to back meetings. Yay! Yeah,
today's crazy. Today's great. I have back to back.
It is great, and my kids are home. Snow day, so they will probably jump in here and bother me. Hopefully, with clothes on this time. That's how I'm doing. No banging. I'm doing great. It's a great Wednesday. Lots of cool stuff has already happened in my world in 2024. So I'm motivated. So it's good.
Good.
Chris, what about you?
It's a fun old world out there, isn't it, at the moment in 2024. So yeah, some good stuff. Not doing too bad. Tangling and untangling my way through some people changes inside the org at the moment. I'm going to put a post out probably tomorrow, actually, on the award stuff. I put one with all the award stuff out there. And then we were talking offline about how to get that all moved. I'm going to actually just put that link in now. What else? No, there's a lot of stuff going on. Traveling again Friday through Monday. So I'm going to be remote, just nice bouncing around a bit. So that'll be good.
Right on.
Oh, yeah, the award stuff was good. That was fun. It was fun. A huge amount of fun collaborating on that one with you two, and then also obviously with Lam and Jordan. So that was fun.
A shout out to our compatriots here for helping us create those categories and copywriting. It was awesome. Oh, by the way, those who are listening, you can vote. But if you also know people who would like to vote, pass on that link to them as well. So help us distribute this this nominations form. And in about 3 weeks' time on episode, I don't know what number is it going to be, 51?
51 in a few weeks' time.
I don't even know what episode we're on right now. We're going to be announcing those results again. Going to be super fun and a lot of, and what we're going to send them a little swag. Maybe we should just send them a bag of confetti.
Yes.
Glitter.
Specifically glitter. Shaped confetti. No, I like that. I'm going to. If we can get the addresses for the ones that want the addresses, I do say we send them the Highland Q, and we do that.
Should sign it or
yes.
it with lipstick.
Okay, let's go with LinkedIn Network. Vishay, yeah, absolutely. Please feel free to share. But as we were talking about on time, don't put it into the post itself, because LinkedIn's algorithm doesn't like you if you take things away from LinkedIn. So put it in the freaking LinkedIn comments. Algorithm has changed again. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I've been suffering from the algorithm. I'm just like, it is what it is. Just post, keep it going, stacking it up. All right, we're talking about a couple things today. Actually, that surfaced. Well, a lot of our episodes topics surfaced last minute, but this one surfaced last minute on a call that I had yesterday. Before we get into that, though, Chris, I think you had something that you wanted to touch on from LinkedIn. Yes, no.
Yeah, a little bit. Had an interesting, I'm actually going to see if I can find, because I ended up commenting on it. There was an intro, and I can't find Maria. I think you were the one comments. There we go. I'm actually trying to find the post. Somebody who I talked to about a year ago. And I talked to him about a year ago, and he'd shot me a note. Like talking. Oh, there we go. Pete. There we go. That's Pete.
Yeah, I have it up here too.
Yeah, I just found it actually.
All right, you want to break it down?
Yeah. I do if I can find the ruddy post. You got the post?
Mm-hmm.
I've not got the post. I've got, I don't know, I've been pretty clear. Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's.
Is that the one?
He's actually got a couple of them, actually. He's been on a bit of a rant. Oh, there we go. Danny, you're amazing. Thank you. There we go. Yes, apparently I'm useless at my job. See, so yeah, it's interesting. So I'm not going to break this down specifically. I want to address it a little bit. So Pete put a message out about a weird trend in cybersecurity that CISOs and other security bots are thinking that we're qualified to tell sales and marketing types how to sell or market to them. Apparently, we're not even close. And apparently, at least half of us are below average in our own jobs. Why would we be telling people how to do this? So I kind of want to retort a little bit to this one to some degree. I kind of want to retort for a little bit. One, because I think there's definitely some valid points in here. No two ways about it. But I think the approach on how this is done versus how we try to approach sales and marketing is probably a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to do my best to not. I mean, I'll have a go, and I'll try to do things in as positive a spin as I possibly can. Yeah, there are definitely times when the box of dicks has to come out and be sent to people. No two ways about it. I mean, this is interesting. Telling people that they're useless in their own jobs is not something I would rather try to do. Helping people understand how to get better. In other words, building somebody up, not tearing them down. I don't like the way this is approached it. And from my perspective, I'm not trying to tell you like how to do your job. What I'm going is, hey, I know from my own personal perspective, this shit doesn't work with me, and I know it doesn't work with my peers. So y'all can carry on doing it for all I care, and it's just going to end up in the block. Or let us help you understand a better way to actually interact with us. So you can take it or leave it for all I care. If you take it, great. Then we're going to have a much more interactive and much more engaging conversation. If you're going to leave it, you just can continue to bash your head against a brick wall. So I think that's, to me, this is what we are trying to do here. Because I took it a little personally, and I was a little kind of growly about it. Not overly so, but it is what it is. But for me, it was one of those, do we tear down? Absolutely. But do we try to sit back and go, hey, look, this is what was approached, and this is where it works. And believe me, this is where it isn't working. And here's how we like to be approached. Bit of a difference on that one. So I'd be interested in your thoughts on it.
Well, Maria, you had some comments about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's not wrong. For the underlying message, in my opinion, is not wrong at all. I'll get to what I mean by that in a minute. But I think with anything, when you're trying to make a point, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I think the point that I think he's actually correct on could have been made without starting in a negative. I don't like anything that starts with a negativity, if that makes sense. I don't like when we do that here on the show. I don't like when we start negative. I think we do a good job of trying not to. I don't like when anybody starts any type of here's something you could do better by starting with a negative. I don't think that's helpful. And I tend to just tune you out because I'm not a negative person and I don't respond well to that in general, right? So I think that the approach wasn't necessarily the best in terms of the way that he kind of started to get his opinion across. I also feel like, just to Chris's point, too much of anything is never a good thing. So to be aggressive about something just for the sake of being aggressive in any direction, whether it's on the pro sales marketing and how things are done and anti sales and marketing and how things are done, too much in either direction is not helpful kind of to anybody. But I do think, to his point, there is some credence to what he's saying in the terms of I listen to what you say, Chris. I listen to what Danny says. I listen to what Avi says. I listen to what a ton of people are saying, right? I listen to what you're saying, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to pick up the phone and cold call. I'm going to do that. And I am still going to send an email, and I am still going to reach out via cold email. So there is something to be said about that. And a lot of what you'll hear, and I don't think we do it here, is it's not necessarily I think the message got diluted. So a lot of folks say, don't call me, don't cold email me, don't in me. I have to do that because you don't know who I am. And my brand isn't huge. There's not a lot of other ways for me to get in front of you. Chris, that's how I got in front of you. I inmailed you, right? That's what we did. Yeah. So you can do those things. Even if the whole community is saying, don't call me, I have to, I have to do that. That is what I have to do. But there's a right and wrong way to do that. And there's a right and wrong way to message. When you get on a call, there's a right and wrong way to approach when you pick up. Again, I go back to lead with, I'm a human. So sorry to bother you. I will. People always say, don't apologize. Why? I'm bothering him. I'm going to apologize. That's the first thing I'm doing. Right. I would be annoyed if somebody did that to me. So I just think that the underlying message, he's not entirely wrong. I think that the way that, he approached delivering it could have been done better, if that makes sense.
So I'll say 100%. And I'll say, I still have some digging to do because I got this literally at 4 a.m. when I was half alive and I was trying to consume it all in the dark. But I think that he's trying to make this approach and tone and style, contrarian style, part of his brand, because I'm just looking across the board and how he writes, how he copyright. I just think that that's what he's trying to do, and not maybe so successfully. I think he could deliver it better. I know some people that do this, have this style on point. I mean, it attracts people because they're feeling that pain and they're bitter about their current situation and want to flip the script.
But it's how you do it. I think it's how you do it. I mean, let's face it. I can be the most grumpy, curmudgeoned, whatever out there. But I think it's how you do it. It's exactly to Maria's point.
But you're not contrarian, Chris. You're not picking a battle for the sake of picking a battle.
No.
There's a big difference in terms of the way that this was done, and I've seen it on the other side too, like on what we're doing with other folks, right? Like pasturing for the sake of pasturing doesn't help anybody,
right?
But being aggressive with a mission and an impetus to help and be helpful is very different.
No, that's fair. It comes back to what you were saying. It's how you do things. It's how you say it. It's how you communicate. I mean, that's like so often that my freaking post, I'll go through them, then I'll go through them again, then I'll look at them, and then they either get posted or they get completely changed depending on how I feel. There's a couple of them I've run by various other people as well. I mean, it's just one of those things. Big difference in contrarian and controversial. Good, really good point, Clark. Really, really good point.
Yeah, and thanks to Clark, he actually sent this thread to us on LinkedIn in the morning. But what's interesting here, just overall, and I'll have thoughts on this a little bit deeper after I dissect it in more detail today. I just thought it funny that he talks about, you know, he has that negativity, fine. He talks about the cold calling and all that stuff, fine. And then at the end, he says, "Well, if you want to build a content program, email me." And I'm just like, I would have structured that post altogether so much differently, to your point, Maria. If anything, give value to those who are reading and need an alternative, like tell them the approach. And then if they're ready, they'll reach out to you instead of saying, "Reach out to me." I sent this thread also to Dimitri, because Dimitri and I have been working on Academy at Audience First. And the only thing that I wrote was like, LOL, because basically what he's saying in the beginning is that, you know, why have CISOs tell you how to do your job, which is kind of like what we've done with the CISO Valley Distillery, Maria, right? Like we've had a CISO come in and tell the sales functions like how they prefer to be approached and how to create value. So he's like, "Let's bring him on for a debate." So we might have a debate with this gentleman at some point with Dimitri, because I think he has a lot of things to say to him.
I think it's like anything. Maria said it right, which is you solicit opinions. You go out there and you listen, you solicit opinions, and you go, okay, you're never going to agree with everything. You're never going to implement everything, but at least you have better insight, better viewpoints. And you haven't just gone at it blind. I mean, perfect example. I mean, I'm like, oh, Faye, for crying out loud. I mean, I this was the one this morning, the very first one. It's like, I get in and I'm like, "Hi, Chris, I came across your profile and believe you would be a perfect fit as a cybersecurity thought leader." I'm like, okay, you know, they're buttering me up. That's very nice of them. And maybe they want some advice. Maybe they want some help. And then I keep reading down and I want to introduce you to this company. And then I get a 2 paragraphs of "Hello, all about our company, and would I be available on Tuesday at 11 Mountain?" I'm like, "Oh, Vey, I mean, really? I mean, maybe you took something for the first 10 seconds, you had me kind of hooked, and then you just blew it." And that's back to that approach. You didn't take the 2 minutes to even do an analysis as to what the Smegular approach is or should be. For crying out loud, we're talking about the kind of stuff here for 40-odd episodes. So I don't know, just for crying out loud, listen, we've got 2 ears and 1 mouth. We should probably use them in that ratio.
All right.
The other thing that I would just say on this one is like anything, like with cybersecurity marketing, right, Chris, you always say, "Don't give me absolutes." I think sometimes sellers we're stuck in this kind of weird spot right now between, some marketing people saying, "Don't do these things, they never work," but with CISO saying, "Don't ever do these things, they never work." Listen, that's not true. Because stuff works some of the time, right? Yeah. And so the problem with a post like this, there's 2 things. There's the problems with the post saying never cold call, never cold email, never do this, never do that. Because you know what? There is a lot of up and coming sellers coming into this industry reading that from these very prolific people thinking, "Oh my God, I can't do any of those things. They say it never works." And then you've got this post that says never do this. And now you have these young people trying to figure out like, it's not helpful. Like that is not for what I'm not thinking of me. I'm almost 40 years old. I've been doing this for 15 years. I know what works and what doesn't work.
Right.
And I know what the combination needs to be. And I know when stuff isn't working, where to go and what venues and forums to use to learn how to maybe adapt what I'm doing. But these young people that really are going to be the next era of this industry, they don't. And so these absolutes, they're not helpful.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I think the young people should just listen to last week's episode you had with George and George. Straight up.
That was a really good episode.
That was perfect. you laid it out, both you and Carlos. They did such a good job. We'll drop the link here in the comments too, because they did such a good job laying out how to approach it and kind of sustain it over time as well. Right?
Thank you, Abby. You're so kind. I appreciate that very much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make my heart sigh.
All right. We have a special guest or two coming on now. I want to bring them in. Hopefully they're ready, because we see a black screen here in the back room. But let's see if they're ready to come on. We have Jack and the one and only Jasper. Are you there,
Jasper,
Jack?
As well. Unless Jasper has escaped again, that is a distinct possibility.
Hold on, Jack, I don't know.
Jack hit me up. Jack hit me up yesterday, I think it was. He's like, goddamn son of a bitch. Apparently, Jasper has figured out how to clear like a 3-4 foot fence from like 12 foot away.
That's impressive.
Apparently he's wandering his way around the neighborhood, making friends with everybody along the way. It's freaking brilliant.
All right, Jack, you there? Oh, man. He's probably on mobile.
All right, for those of you who don't know, Jack is amazing. I love his insights. I love the way he thinks. And just, again, this is one of those, it takes so many of us in this, hey, I have to get this, actually. You keep talking. I actually need to get this. This is actually the vet. So for those of you
who don't know, sounds good. Yeah, so Jack is amazing. Jack's been submitting examples since 2022 to WTF, believe it or not. So I have a lot of good examples from Jack. Yeah, and he might be, nominated for some awards, honorable mentions. But Jack and Jasper is his donkey. So Jasper gets a lot of inbound and cold outreach as well. On LinkedIn. So we have some good examples there, which are hilarious, but examples of what not to do. So I wanted to bring Jack on to talk about that. And, to your point and your husband's point, Maria, we should bring on more practitioners to share their
experience. Can we talk about that idea?
Talk about it. Go for it. Tell me how that kind of played out.
Okay. So my husband, Michael, spelled weirdly, he has been a listener of this podcast since probably episode 25 or 26. And after last week's episode, he just kind of came up to me and he said, I had an idea. And I was I get defensive about stuff that's mine. This is not his, this is mine. So, or ours, see your way out of it. But he just kind of said, it would be a really good idea, or it might be cool. You guys have been doing this, and Chris and Danny have been doing this now for 50 episodes, we'll just call it, right? And we often get a lot of sales and marketing people on, but we don't often get a lot of security practitioners on. And let's face it, we look at the chat and we look at the attendees. Our audience is largely folks like me and like you, Danny, not folks necessarily like Chris. But that being said, my husband said, and my husband knows Chris by proxy via me and my kids. So he very much understands who Chris is and how Chris operates. And he just kind of said, let's face it, from a buyer perspective, Chris is kind of a unicorn. he's the exception to the rule. He's definitely not the rule. And maybe it would be helpful at this point between the three of you, you're all very, pretty well connected, and there's tons of security practitioners, I'm sure, that would jump at the opportunity to be able to speak with Danny and Chris. He left me out of it. I'm clearly not as cool as you guys, but the idea being the same kind of concept, but bring in kind of somebody else to bring in some examples. And then kind of talk about, I know James, and we bless your heart for being here all the time, that you're a practitioner, but, the idea being the same type of concept, but get it from another angle, another lens, a different type of buyer's perspective, but the same type of thing, and make it kind of a standard process. And then maybe do that twice a month. And then the other two episodes a month, bring in the sales and marketing people so that we're getting kind of a full picture, but the same, build it up, break it down, but get a different lens. Because let's face it, not all practitioners are as prolific on LinkedIn. I can go on LinkedIn and find anything about Chris and go target him quite effectively. But like 80% of the people I'm trying to talk to, they don't even have a profile. Yeah. So how does that work then, right? So like trying to figure out a little bit more, you know, getting more, to your point, Chris, input and insights on this. I think that we all know at this point what not to do. And we know how to do it for you, but how do we do it for
everybody else? No, I love it. I think that'd be fantastic. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the channel, but yeah, I think I'm all over that. I mean, there's so many people we could drag on. I mean, you forgot to James's point, get James on and, you know, get so many other people on. Danny, you've gone all fuzzy again.
Sorry. Well, we'll figure it out. Because I'm opening tabs here. But interesting, actually, is I went through, and you were off camera, Chris, as I was mentioning this to Maria. I went back in the history of the WTF inbox, because when we started WTF, it was basically an email. Like, you have a bad example, you know, forward it to the email address.
Yeah,
and I went back in time, and Jack's been submitting since 2022, since we started, December of 2022. And was it December? I don't even remember. No, I don't even remember.
It was October 2022. It was October 2022. I know this because I was in the hospital recovering from my Achilles surgery on the first episode. So, I remember.
Maybe we should give you the award because that's like hardcore.
There was nothing else to do. I'm just kidding. I was excited to listen. Danny, could you drop the email address into the chat though? Because I didn't know. I didn't even know there was an email address.
Yeah. I'll drop the email address. So if you can, you could always forward bad examples to the email address. But I actually went through and I took a look at all the people that were submitting. We should just bring them on again. Like, it's like 7 or 8, you know, consistent people bringing in examples. So let me drop this link here.
I think that needs to be email. To your point, we probably need to reiterate that on the posts as well. It's like where to send the interesting. Actually, that email should also be used to be where to send the good stuff too, because occasionally you get a good one, you're like, oh, actually that was good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because wouldn't it be cool next year is instead of celebrating, of course, we're going to make fun and have our fun, but instead of celebrating the worst, wouldn't it be cool if in 25 we're celebrating like the WTF is not what the hell was that nonsense? It's wow, that was really good. Because that's actually the mission.
Well, we do have that. We actually do have an award for the best email, and also I think best email / LinkedIn. We got an award for that. So maybe we have more than just one on that one. But at the moment, I figure we'll just when we had that whole list, it was pretty pretty extensive.
It was.
So I ended up having it down. Yeah, you and I, Chris. I got a couple of cold ones on Christmas Day. I'm like, I love you all, but today is not the day to cold call me. Literally. I'd with Chris on this one. No, it's I think it's the awards, I think, to your point, are, I wouldn't say negatively focused, but there's definitely more awards for Muppets than there are for good folks. So,
all right, I dropped the email. I'm probably gonna get spammed beyond belief from people looking at that email, not even reading what it's for, from LinkedIn. But it looks also, It looks also like Jack is having camera trouble, so we're gonna bypass that for now and move on to the next subject. Maybe bring him on next time to see how we can help him out with the camera. But I want to shift the conversation to something quite important, I think, and part of a challenge that I've experienced as a demand gen practitioner in the past, and that's getting access to actual customers in house, right? This comes from a conversation that I was listening to yesterday, a sales call actually that I was listening to yesterday, and the CRO was saying, well, we got to be careful with how much we're asking from our customers. We don't want to burn the candle too much. You know, please run it by me. Don't bring up too many requests to them. And you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, I can understand that to an extent, but my beef as a marketer is like, well, I need evidence. I need to get into the customer mind. I need to understand the use case of the customer, the experience of the customer, right? So we have that in Salesforce. However, hearing it from the mouth is much more valuable. And there's that. And also the fact that we'd like to create, you know, specific artifacts for sales and specific artifacts for the website. We need true insight and evidence in order to publish that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is my beef was yesterday and also in general over the course of my career is, and I'm bringing this up, it's like sales and CS sometimes get so paranoid about talking to the customer, the CISO or whoever the end user is. I want to know why people tippy-toe when it comes to those customer relationships and why they're so kind of uptight about it. I can understand about fumbling a deal, but it's just, in my opinion, way too much, and it's borderline toxic because they're being treated like they should be unreachable, right? Like they're, you know, precious diamonds that, or even precious eggshells that will be crushed. Like at the end of the day, this is a partnership and a collaboration. We should be working together as a vendor as a whole and not just specific people. There could be a POC, but I wanted to kind of open up that topic today and get your insight into that, into what I'm feeling as a frustration, and kind of run through some questions. So before asking questions, any initial thoughts on what I just dropped here?
One question first. Is this in the sales process? Like the deal hasn't been closed yet? You're asking for access?
It's been closed.
It's closed? Okay.
Yep. Deal's been closed. They're a relatively new customer. They've been, you know, open to doing panels and, you know, any kind of marketing programs. But I don't know the extent in this specific situation yesterday of what the asks were. But in the past, I know that when I went to, you know, either the product leader or customer success in the past, when I've asked, hey, can I just get 15 minutes to talk to somebody about their experience and how they've onboarded and what they're, you know, feeling and going through, I've been shut down so fast. Like, wait 2 quarters. I'm just like, I don't have fucking 2 quarters. I need it right now, you know? wait in line, honey. I'm like, I don't want to wait. Why do I have to wait in line? Why can't we just like work together? There are different goals for different people, right? So that's kind of my beef. And I'm wondering, right, like, how do you balance that need to meet, you know, the customer requests with like the limitations of those resources, or just in general, the limitations of getting access to the customer? Right.
I have. So I know how I've done this. So there is a balance, right? I'm not going to call Chris every day and be like, I need you to reference. Although Chris, Francie does need that case study back. There does have to be a balance in terms of like understanding how much we have used the relationship as a salesperson and how much maybe our colleagues on the sales force have used them, how much marketing has used. So making sure that somebody's aware of how much we're asking of folks is important. Also understanding how much folks are willing to help us. Like, again, Chris is always super, super, I've never had an issue, even if I feel like I'm borderline abusing. I'm not scared to ask him. He'll tell me to fly a kite if he's busy, right? But I'm always okay to ask. Where I have other customers where it's really got to be pretty important for this person to drop what they're doing to spend 45 minutes with anybody, whether it's a reference call for me or a marketing case study for you or whatever the case may be. But we know this and we own those relationships, so we can understand that. I will always give access to my customers, or I will do whatever is needed to make things for my company better. Marketing, I can't complain about marketing if I don't give marketing access to the right people to talk to. That's stupid. But there is another side of this. I have worked with people here, and obviously only here because I've only worked here, but there's been personalities that have come and gone from here where I'm not comfortable with that personality having anything to do with my customer for whatever reason. And so I still want to help, but I'll do it a different way. So like, you want to hear what the market's saying, just join a call with me and shadow, and I'll pretend you're on the sales team training and learning. You still get what you need. You're listening and you're able to hear the questions. You're able to hear the conversation. You're able to hear kind of what's happening versus I'm just going to let you run wild and get on a one-on-one phone call with this person because I don't know. I've seen how you engage with people. I just don't know that that's the right way I want you engaging with the relationship that, let's face it, is mine, that I have built and curated, if that makes sense. I think that if people have their guard up about letting you have access, there's a couple of things going. Either service delivery's messing up and they're not confident in the service or the product that you guys are selling, because that is something that could happen, because there has been times in our history here, several years ago, we were transitioning back-end products and I would not let anybody talk to customers because guess what? They were upset with us. You don't want to hear from them right now. but you got to ask the right questions. Then there's always going to be situations like that, right? But to not give the organization that you work for access to your customers does not make sense to me in any stage of the game, whether it's even in pre-sales. If it's pre-sales, you're not opening your mouth because there's money that goes into my pocket on the line at that point. And I don't want you saying something that could potentially risk that. So I would have you just listen to the conversation and you can get your information gathering that way. And that's how I'm willing to help you at that stage in the relationship with that customer. Versus right when you're getting into onboarding, I would preface the conversation. If I know you're looking for people for onboarding stories, Danny, during the pre-sales process, I'd say, hey, if I give you a 4% discount, would you be willing to let my marketing person ride sidecar with you during your onboarding experience? And if it's a positive experience, will you work with her to write a case study? I'll save you four grand off the top line. Is that something you'd be interested in? Right? Like that's super easy way to do it. Another thing I'll do for customers that reference consistently, like, cause there are certain ones that I've got like 7 that are kind of like my go-tos because I don't have to prep them. I trust them to be honest and not be like a fangirl or fan guy, cause that doesn't look good either. Right? Like tell the truth. but in as best possible way as possible. Right. And I'll do stuff for them, on the flip side too. Like, hey, some of them are really big technology geeks and they want to be involved in New Spire's roadmap. You're getting an invite to the table, sit at the roadmap meeting, give your insight. Other people really like to, I've got one guy that's an avid, like he loves to RV and camp. So we sent him a Blackstone and said, here, enjoy this for your next trip over to Savannah over the holidays, right? So doing stuff like it's a partnership, I don't know. But I think that for anybody to just shut down access doesn't make sense. Get creative, because if my company's not successful, how am I going to, I can't be successful with a crappy company behind me. And you got to have, it's a team. So there can be parameters and there can be different ways to do it, but like hard no is not a good idea.
Yeah. I think what's important here, you're mentioning parameters, setting up those expectations and requests early on across the organization, I think is critical. And that could differ, like depending on what your goal is as the marketer, you know, make it very clear what you need to different parts of the organization so that they can loop you in those conversations, I think is a superb piece of advice. But like what I'm wondering is do you set also realistic expectations with customers who maybe aren't advocates like those 7 for you, right? How do you do that, right? And this is also a question posed to Chris, like how do you like to be set up for potential requests coming in from any vendor or sales organization, right?
I think from my standpoint, I mean, Maria knows how to handle it. Ironically, as we were talking about this, I'm actually filling something out that I was promised I'd fill out yesterday. So I'm actually doing it now because it's actually fun because it's top of mind as well. But it's one of those things where from my standpoint, I mean, Maria will get hold of me and say, hey, look, would you mind, or we've got a client out. And from my, the flip on this one is I've always said, I am more than willing to jump on a call with any potential client and say, hey, look, you know, this is the experience we went through. Because, I mean, this client's asked fantastic questions and, you know, they're good, simple questions. How satisfied are we? What platforms do we go from? How responsive was New Spire? Were there any issues? Can I share any challenges as we engaged? How were they handled? How were they resolved? How would we rate their customer support and describe the level of collaboration? These are exactly, I mean, these are freaking fantastic.
Was that for me? Thank you.
These are fantastic questions because this organization wants to know, doesn't care about the tech and the solution, wants to know how basically, you don't buy, I can buy services from 20 different bloody companies, but what I want is everything that comes with that, which is that collaboration, cooperation, coordination shenanigans. So I love the fact they're asking the right questions. But I mean, I think Maria, you hit me up and said, hey, and then she just put an intro email to the team and left us two to talk with each other. I pinged them after the holidays and said, hey, let me know if you still need to get on a phone or jump on this. And they shot the questions over. So I'm literally just typing those back now. But I mean, that's only happened 2-3 times, something like that, whatever. I'll get on internal calls with Newspire and we'll talk about products or services, or like I'm doing at the moment. I wanted something for next week and we were having a conversation about how to get it, what to do and all this kind of good stuff. And it was one of those like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. We could run that for other customers. And I'm like, yeah, I'll happily brainstorm it. Let's see what we can get to. So it's, I like that collaboration because again, it improves services for me. It also gives, potentially gives Newspire in this case, you know, some potential like, oh, this might actually work in other areas. But I get the benefit from it. I get that collaboration. I get that cooperation. This isn't just a transactional relationship. This is something when something goes wrong, I know I can pick up the phone. I can jump on calls. We can do something else and it will work. So I think it just, it builds that relationship. So the fact that I don't want to be treated with kid gloves by anybody. I actually enjoy the interaction. If I've already paid you money, I kind of want to continue that interaction. And if we're happy, I got no problem talking to anybody else. It might, you know, every now and again, but I have no problem with it.
But to your point, Danny, there's also like the other side, right? The people that don't necessarily want to be bothered with that. And that is a thing and that's totally fine and respect, but I would approach them no different. Like as a human, hey, I was wondering, I need some help in this domain. Is there any chance you'd be willing? Also totally cool if not. And I just leave it. And that's usually, I can say that to Chris, totally cool. If not, that's okay. And I move on. But the other thing too, is I also know I'm really good at when I lose a deal. If I lose a deal, my very next question is, would you be willing to get on a call with myself and my VP of product marketing? 20 minutes. I just want to get feedback from you as to why we lost. And everybody, I've never had a closed loss deal say no.
Is that not standard?
No. A lot of people don't do that. You lose and you walk away and that's it. And you think you know why you lost, but
that's a lost opportunity right there.
Exactly. And so that I think is a huge, like if I'm going to lose, my next thing is like, well, that really sucks, but can you please help me get better so I don't lose the next time? Cause we've built a relationship. We like each other. So help me be better. Right. So that's an opportunity. The other opportunity is when I'm not in software and I know software breaks. So I don't know how software deals with this, but I'm in services and humans screw up sometimes, unfortunately. And when humans screw up, you get upset people. And that's another really good opportunity if they're willing to get on a call with our VP of service delivery and say, here's what happened and here's what my expectations were. And this is why they didn't get met or whatever. I'm also totally fine giving access to people within my company to problem situations because I'm a salesperson. I can be loud and I can bust coconuts and I can get people the right things, but I can't actually go fix the thing. Mm-hmm. And so I mean, in just all areas, it's, I don't know. I get Danny, it's just like this, anything else, be a human and collaborate with the people that you need to get stuff from and see how you can work together. I guess. I
100% agree. I'd argue depending on who that customer is, that there has to be a certain level of a certain SLA, right? Or standardization as to how you approach the customer. Because, you know, to your point, you this is money in your pocket. You don't want to fumble a deal. So like setting up those I feel like I should write out a guide for this. Who customer segments, what kind of customers, approachability, who should you talk to with regards to whether or not they're in the pipeline, not in the pipeline, because if I'm a marketer and I want to get, you know, on a call to talk about content, there's no way in hell I'm going to bypass a sales rep who's in the middle of a deal and go straight to that customer. I'm going to talk to the sales rep first and say, hey, can I get access to them?
But what if that person's already customer? Would you bypass the account relationship owner?
No, I would still talk to the account relationship owner. Because they're handling that relationship.
That doesn't happen everywhere. Like a lot of times,
but they handle that relationship. And this is where the internal collaboration has to be set up SLA, and also external collaboration has to be set up SLA. if they're not a customer and a prospect, by all means, just go talk to them. That's what I think. And if anything, you would make that intro to sales later on, right? So it's kind of like you're working with each other to kind of move the needle for different goals. Has there been any like horror experience for you, Chris, as regards to like unlimited requests from vendors for you to do something for them, and you're just like, dude, what do you want from me?
Back off, basically. Yeah. Yeah, there have been a couple. I mean, it's actually been a while. I will say it's been a while since I've had much of that. I do remember years ago, I think, and this is, I mean, we're talking several years ago now. I do remember, I think probably the worst one for me, and actually this reminds me, I had one of these fairly recently, like, thinking about it. I think the worst one was like, hey, we see where you're using our product, or, you know, I've endorsed or used or whatever. And they're like, we'd love to get on your peers. You know, we'd love to talk with your peers. Because, I mean, they know that I run the Tinkerers group with a bunch of others, and they know the context. And they're like, you know, we're willing to pay. Basically, it was a, hey, we'll pay you for live leads. And I'm like, oh, no, we don't play that game. That one's a big no to me. I think that's probably the worst thing I've seen, which is definitely that, hey, we know you're on board. We want to use you as basically sales lead, warm intro kind of thing. It's, you know, I don't like that. That to me, that doesn't sit well to me. It's like, I'm happy to talk about, you know, Newspire or Anixia or stuff like that, because what I'm getting, which is exactly what I need. It's just something I just sent to somebody. I get peace of mind. I get 24/7 eyes, and I get somebody who's got my back, and they're a partner. They're not a freaking vendor. You know, if I get that from people, I'm happy to talk about them. I don't need an incentive. And if somebody wants to actually quiz me about it, have at it, but then they can go deal with them directly. I don't want to have to deal with financial incentives or any of that kind of crap to go with that. That to me, from sitting on like as the CISO for a different company, doesn't sit well. But I know I've seen a few CISOs take that, shall we say, which also concerns me a little bit.
How would you, this is a question to both of you. I'd love to hear both of your answers. If I were in the situation tomorrow where I got, you know, basically a rejection to even talking to customers altogether, right? Nope, wait 2 quarters. What would you say to that sales professional, or even product, you know, the owner of the customer relationship? How would you approach that scenario? What would you tell someone?
Not well.
Yes, I know, but yeah. What would be the proactive approach? Say, hey, like, how do I respond back?
I don't need a fucking handler. I really don't. I don't need a handler. I don't need somebody to be my brick wall. I don't need somebody to make my decisions for me. I would rather be involved in that conversation. How Maria approaches, like, hey, do you have time to help out with this? That's a simple yes, no. That's not Maria speaking on my behalf. That's not Maria protecting or any of this kind of stuff. That's just a collaborative conversation. Yeah, I don't do well with somebody trying to gatekeep on my behalf without checking with me first.
I think... like, okay, so obviously sales and marketing need to work together. Whatever you're trying to figure out from these customers is ultimately going to benefit funnel and asset generation and things that I can then have at my disposal to help me do my job. So I think, I don't know. I think I'd probably say 2 things. Well, you can't get what you don't ask for. How do you know this person isn't willing to talk to you? Like, you can't just add, like yesterday. So for example, yesterday we were looking at an event in the NOLA thing, Chris, the NOLAcon thing. And I, in the last 48 hours, I've asked Chris about, I reminded him about a case study. I reminded him about, like, he said he'd reference for me. And then the event people were like, well, can you ask Chris if he's experienced with this event? And I was, and my response wasn't, well, I've already bothered him 3 times in 48 hours. My response was, sure, I've pinged him a few times. I may not get a quick response, but I'll ask him. And if he, and then he can, he has the ability, that's a human relationship. He has the ability to tell me to fly a kite at that point, right? But like, I can't get what I don't ask for from him. And the same would go across the board. So I would tell your sellers, well, you can't get what you don't ask for. How do you know they wouldn't be willing to help us? And also, I can't give you what you all keep saying you need if I don't have access to the insights of our buyers. I can't. So what do you want me to do for the next 2 quarters? It's 6 months. 6 yeah. months, you're not going to give me access. My whole job, your director of demand. What's your official title?
Right now, I'm content. I'm the content lady.
Content. What content?
Well, I was director of demand, where we needed to spin up campaigns and
yes.
you know, understand hooks,
but, triggers, but all content that kind of stuff. Tasks, you need customer insights in order to make content yeah. that resonates with the customers. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting buyer insights for 6 months, you know what content you're generating? Pure, hot, smelly shit that no one can use on the sales side.
Raise
so
the roof.
Like that's like, I wouldn't say it like that. I would be professional about it, Danny, but like, that's what I would say. One, you can't get what you don't ask for. How do you know the clients aren't willing to help? And two, I can't help you until I have buyer insights.
So basically you got to get your poop in a group with the hot and smelly shit. And by the way, side note, I'm learning a lot of really cool phrases from Maria these days.
Because I have a potty mouth and I'm trying not to swear in front of my children. So well, I come up with a little.
So I would say if you're not getting access to customers, then talk to the salespeople. But that's also a feat because sometimes salespeople aren't capturing the actual data points that you need as a marketer, let's just say. You know, you're very focused on you know, particular discovery questions in order to move the deal forward, right? As it ties to services or products. I have insight into questions that marketers can prepare for salespeople to be more well-versed into how to capture data points for them. But what, in your opinion, I mean, you're very good at discovery. How would you help other salespeople get good at discovery so that they're coming rich with insight for the organization?
But I'm not doing it. So you know, Francie will tell you all about Francie and Maria and the arguments we will have about this exact topic. I think there's a key thing with that though, Danny, like my discovery is very different because I'm in a different phase of the funnel and stuff than what you're going to be in from content generation. There's two different types of discovery that need to happen. And I remember about 2 years ago, Francie came to me. Francie is our director of VP of content. She's a badass at Newsbyer. She's a wonderful lady. And her and Danny know each other quite well, but, she came to me with this list of questions and she was asking me to like try to get this detail. And I was like, I'm not asking that. That's not even relevant to what these things are. And you know what she did? She told me to shut the F up and she sat me down and she explained to me why we needed to gather these data points. And it would be easier mm-hmm. for me to just do it than for mm-hmm. her to go try and find random people to ask, right? Because mm-hmm. this is actually somebody that is engaging with us for whatever reason. And she gave me the logic behind it. And the logic tied back directly to, this will help me understand how to make content that's relevant without me having to necessarily insert myself in the process. I can be pretty combative if I don't understand something. Give me the why you're asking me to do it. And I'm mm-hmm. pretty easygoing and I'll try to do what you need. And to the point where I think one call, it was a great discovery call. I got what I needed as a seller, but I had my list of crap from Francie and I had not touched any of that. And we were done. We had the next call scheduled. And I was like, hold on, do you have 3 more minutes? I know we still have 7 minutes on our call. My marketing people need me to ask some questions. Do you mind? And that's what I said. And I just went right through the questions and gave it to her. I was like, I mean, I didn't do it the right way, but like, here's your answers.
So I mean, it's like, exponentially better than probably not doing it at all. So,
my point is if you give people the why you're trying to get to something and you can show them, it's just like a sales pitch, right? Yeah. I'm telling you that I could do this and here's how to help you. If you're coming to the sales team and saying, I really want to help you, but I need these data points in order to be able to do that. Is there any way that you can try and capture those in the course of your discovery? Or if you could give me access to whatever, just see if they'd be willing to. And if they're not going to be willing to help you, guess what? They're not going to last the company anyways, because they're not good at their jobs, because they're not willing to make anything better to make their life easier.
Chris, any comment?
Yeah, it's having sat on both sides of this conversation over the years, especially having to try to build content and actually puts content stuff together, to me, it's invaluable to actually go out there and listen and talk to people and go, hey, what do you actually want to learn? What do you want to know? How do you want to do this? I mean, to me, that's huge. And if you don't have it and you can't, I mean, it's a tough one for me on this one, because if I was getting blocked by sales, which, you know, when you run your own place, it's a lot easier. You just say, hey, I need this. But if having worked inside a couple of those organizations and not gotten, shall we say, the right feedback from the marketing team, and I'm thinking back to like the Ativo or Calvio days, I would just go out to the marketplace itself. I would just go online and ask people online. I would literally just, I'd be like, okay, if I can't get access to the people you want to talk to and you are talking with, I'm just going to go ask the internet in general. I'm going to go ask the community. You know, the Tinkerers Group is great for that. Some of the other CISO forums are good for that. Walking around RSA, Black Hat, B-Sides, and everything else, and just asking people that way to get the knowledge I need to do to be able to feed that back. So that was, you know, and I did that a couple of times because there are a few times when, to be very blunt, the marketing team at one of those two companies decided to come up with its own freaking acronyms for what they thought endpoint detection was. I mean, you'd be fucking kidding me. Will you stop building more acronyms? Oh, no, this is how we build value. I'm like, all right, I want to see this one. So I went out, hit the people, and the overwhelming thing was, oh, for crying out loud, not another bloody acronym. And so I kicked that back in and said, hey, I asked you. I went to ask the customers. You wouldn't let me. So I went and asked the entire industry. And the industry says, But they still didn't.
I mean, I got to write a post about this. This is actually really good advice, by the way, about like scanning the floor, like going on the floor and initiating conversation, just talking to people and getting feedback there. We dropped that about a year or so ago, that piece of advice, but that is phenomenal. We have 4 minutes left actually. And before we sign off, I want to remind our audience again, please, please, please vote for the nominees for the WTF Awards to 2023. I'm going to drop it again in the comments shortly. And then if you haven't done so already and you want to subscribe to whatthefuckdidijustread.com, what we do is we share with you the insights from the show. You get the updates of when the episodes drop on the audio players and also other goodies that are coming down the pike. Anything else you want to impart in the audience today, my friends?
I'll go quick because then Maria's got to go and then we have to drop suddenly. For me, it's all about collaboration. It's all about communication and collaboration. Nothing to do with tech on this one, purely communication and collaboration. This whole conversation has been about it. So that one hammers home.
I would second that. I think all the topics we talked about, the communication is important. Again, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So keep that in mind. And if you can do that well, then collaboration just comes naturally. Mm-hmm.
Right on. All right, everybody. We appreciate you very much, our guests who are always coming on every week and the newbies who are in. I appreciate you, Chris and Maria. Thank you very much for coming on during your busy schedules. This has been an awesome episode. I loved it. I love talking about this. A lot to still uncover with regards to this topic, by the way. I think it's critical for both marketing, sales, and the practitioner. But very good stuff. Good opener for what's to come. On a LinkedIn post. I'm going to drop a LinkedIn post about this. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. Thanks, everybody. We are out.
Bye, guys.